When John Tom woke the following morning, he saw the rear canvas panel neatly pinned up. Sunlight streamed inside. Floor knelt, staring outward, her black hair waterfalling down her back. She seemed to sparkle. He sat up and threw off his covers. How eerie, after so many days of violence, not to hear the wind. Also absent, the persistent drumming of raindrops overhead. He leaned forward and peered out. Only a few scattered storm clouds hung stubbornly in an otherwise clear sky. John Tom crawled up alongside Floor. A gentle breeze ruffled the swordsword, the emerald endlessness appearing as soft and delicate as the down on a young girl's legs. The distant yellow puffballs of dandelion trees looked lonely against the otherwise unbroken horizon.
Good morning, John Tom.
Buenos dias. ¿Qué pasa, beautiful?
Just enjoying the view and the sunshine. A week in that damn wagon.
She fluffed her hair out.
It was getting a little squirrely.
Also smelly.
He breathed deeply of the fresh air, the rich, sweet smell of the rain-swept grasses. Then he stepped out onto the rear wagon seat. Slowly he turned a circle. There was nothing but green sward and blue sky in all directions. Against that background, even a distant Falamizar would have stood out like a truckload of coal in a snowbank. But there was no sign of the dragon or of his quarry.
Nobody. Neither of them.
He turned back to look down into the wagon. Talia had just raised her head from beneath a pile of blankets and blinked at him sleepily, her red curls framing her face like the scribbles of a playful artist.
I am most concerned.
Clothahump sat at the front end of the wagon, stirring a pot of hot tea. The little copper kettle squatted on the portable stove.
It is possible that...
He pointed toward John Tom and opened his mouth. John Tom heard only the first of his comment.
I do believe there is someone behind... Whoa!
Something yanked hard at John Tom's ankles. Arms windmilling the air, he went over backward off the platform. He landed hard, the grass cushioning him only slightly. Angry noises and thumping sounds came from the wagon. He looked to his right, but the grass hid whatever was happening there. Of only one thing he was certain, the sward was alive with dozens of fast-moving, goblin-sized, hairy human creatures. The dray lizards moved nervously as the little monsters swarmed onto harness and reins. A pole was brought and neatly slipped between the bindings on John Tom's ankles and others at his wrists. He was lifted into the air. Clearing the ground by only a few inches, he was borne off at considerable speed through the grass. He could see at least half a dozen of his captors shouldering the pole, three at his feet and three above his head. Although his sense of speed was artificially accelerated by his proximity to the ground, he fervently prayed that his bearer's sense of direction was as efficient as their deltoids. The sharp grass did not seem to bother them. Looking back, he saw the wagon turn and follow,